One of my favorite hymns is a hymn called The Love of God. It was written by Frederick Lehman over 100 years ago in 1917. There's some confusion about exactly where the lyrics came from, but it seems pretty clear that one of the verses was taken from an old poem, and that Lehman, along with his daughter, kind of built the song around that old poem, adding a couple of more verses and a chorus to that. It's one of my favorite hymns, and I'm right now going to just sing through the first couple of verses in the chorus for you.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win his erring child. He reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Oh, love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and angels. Drain the oceans dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky.
A lot of times we don't really think about the lyrics of the songs that we're singing in church. They just kind of wash right over us. And sometimes that's maybe an okay thing. There are some hymns that have some kind of bad theology. But a lot of times we're really missing out when we don't think about the lyrics of the songs that we're singing. They flow out of not only the theology of the hymn writer, but their life experience and the profound emotions that they're experiencing when they're writing these songs. These songs can be really beautiful and profound. And that's what this series, How Sweet the Sound, is all about. Slowing down, stepping back, and taking a closer look at the songs that we are singing in church. Songs like The Love of God. My name's Kevin Fitton, and I'm the music director at our Potterville campus. I'm also a writer and a PhD student in creative writing at Western Michigan. It's probably not a huge surprise that one of the things that I love about this song is the imagery. There's this sort of crazy idea in here of all human beings getting together and trying to use the power of their creative imagination to write down the full extent of God's love, the sea being filled with ink, the sky one giant piece of parchment, and yet the people run out of words. They're not able to describe fully the love of God. I want to ask you to engage in this discussion question today. If you could fill a pool with something, just for fun, what would it be? Even more than the imagery, though, there is this great wisdom that flows out of this hymn. And it really comes from this one key idea. That God's love is too great, that God himself is too vast for us to fully understand as human beings. It's just too much. God's too great, God's too profound, he's too unfathomable for us as human beings. And it isn't just Frederick Lehman who says this. This is a key idea in the Bible. A lot of people probably assume that Genesis is the oldest book in the Bible. It comes first. But you know, a lot of scholars actually think that the first book that was ever written in the Bible is the book of Job. And this idea comes up right away in the book of Job, that God is too great for us to understand. There's this speech that God gives to Job. This is in chapter 38. Then the Lord spoke to Job out of the storm. He said, "Who is this that obscures my plans with words without knowledge? Brace yourself like a man, Job. I will question you and you will answer me. Where were you when I laid the earth's foundations? Tell me if you understand. Who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know. Who stretched a measuring line across it? Or what were its footings set? Or who laid its cornerstone while the morning stars sang together and the angels shouted for joy? This is one of the first things that the Bible says about our relationship with God, that you and I as human beings cannot and not will not fully understand the Creator God. You know, this really shouldn't be that surprising of an idea. I mean, we can't even really comprehend the creation, so why would we be able to expect that we would understand the one who created it? There are so many things about this creation that we can't even wrap our minds around. How small things can be, for example. You know, scientists apparently are able to measure an atom. I don't know, they must have really, really tiny little rulers. But they say that one atom is 100 picometers wide. And so you think, well, it's 100 of something. It couldn't be that small, right? Well, it is that small. To equal the width of a single human hair, you have to stack about 1 million atoms on top of one another. That's how small an atom is. Also, speed. We can't even understand the speed of light. It's too fast for us to be able to wrap our minds around. The speed of light is 300,000 kilometers per hour. So that sounds like a big number, right? Well, here's another way of thinking about it. Light can travel around the Earth more than 7 times in a single second. All the way around the circumference of the Earth over 7 times in a single second. That's really, really fast. Also, the vastness of the Earth. It's beyond our comprehension. You know, the Hubble telescope is able to zoom way, way out into space and take a picture. Inside the frame of one of those images, just taken way, way out into the distance, inside the frame of that picture is 10,000 galaxies. So it's a little bit like this. If you look out the window and you held out your hands like this, and you could imagine holding a single grain of sand and covering this tiny little part of the sky, inside that little speck, there are 10,000 galaxies. And there are over 100,000 stars in a single galaxy. Just giving you an idea of how big the universe is, how incomprehensible it is to us. You know, when Frederick Lehmann wrote this hymn, he said that God's love is as high as the highest star. Of course, he could have had no idea that over 100 years later, with major advancements in technology, we would be able to know and see stars that are 83 billion light years away. But his point still stands. God's love is that great. God's power is that incredible. God is that far beyond us. So here's another question to talk about together. Which part of God's creation is the most difficult for you to understand? The smallness of the atom, the speed of light, or the vastness of the universe? So if God is powerful enough to create this universe that's completely beyond our comprehension, then it must be impossible for us to understand the character of God, right? Well, there's another side to that coin as well. If God is that powerful, all-powerful and all-knowing, and God wanted to make himself known to us, couldn't he also do that and reveal himself and his character to us? I would say yes. So would the Bible. The book of Colossians says this about God's nature. This is written by the Apostle Paul. The Son, he says, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. There's a lot going on in this really short passage, but there's one thing that I want to hone in on here. There's this dualistic idea about God. God is both visible and invisible. Both of these things are true at the same time. On the one hand, God is visible. There are things that we can know about God, and God has made those aspects of his nature known to us. But there are also things that are invisible, things that are beyond our comprehension or that God has chosen not to make known to us. As human beings, we tend to respond to this tension in a couple of different ways. One is people seem to just completely embrace the idea that God is knowable. They, you know, focus on what we can know through God in the scripture or that's revealed to us in creation and pretty much ignore the fact that there are things about God that we can't understand. And then there are people who are on the total other side of this tension. They throw up their hands and say, what can I possibly understand about God? God is too great for us. God, there is this invisible quality to God's nature. Neither one of these approaches is really the best approach though, right? Because both of these things are true at the same time. God is both visible and invisible. And I think what God is saying to us here is that we should reach out to know him. The parts of God that can be known, we should seek to understand and also accept the fact that there are aspects of God that we simply can't understand and can't know. How about you? Do you tend to embrace the fact that there are so much that you can understand about God, or do you lean the other way and tend to really focus on what can't be known? I said in the beginning of the message that I thought that there was some really important wisdom that flows out of this hymn. Well, wisdom is what happens when we take a piece of knowledge and apply that to our lives. In this case, the knowledge being that God is too vast for us to fully understand. So how can we apply that to our lives? Well, first of all, it's really important that we are able to accept our limitations. This is really good for our spiritual well-being, and it helps us to cultivate a real sense of humility, that there are things that we can know about God and believe about God, but there are other things that we really can't. This should also really affect the way that we approach others and their faith, right? We all live inside a mystery. We all have limitations. And as we approach people who have different views about Christianity or who are a part of different religions altogether, we should always approach them in humility, understanding that what we believe about God, that's an act of faith. Here's another piece of wisdom that comes from this key idea, and it's that we should be really careful of churches and religious leaders who claim to have all the answers. Unfortunately, there are a lot of this type of church and a lot of this type of pastor and leader who seem to have all the answers and have full knowledge of everything about God. And these are people that we should really be watching out for and cautious of. It can be really appealing to be in a church or to be following a leader who knows everything. It can be really comforting to be in that kind of environment, to feel like there is no mystery and there's someone who can explain everything to us and give us all the answers. But those people have a tendency to be really controlling. They can become really abusive. These are sometimes really cult-like settings where there's one person who is viewed as being always right and there's no accountability for that person. They can be really, really, end up being really, really bad places. And we should really be watching out for that. When my family moved back to Michigan from Vermont, after 11 years as a pastor of a church there, we came back looking for a new church. And one of the first things that we were looking for is a church where we saw the leaders expressing humility. Sycamore Creek was the first church that we visited, actually, and on that first Sunday, we noticed something really important. Tom wasn't speaking. He had shared that opportunity to speak in front of the church community with someone else. In that case, it was Gretchen Williams who was preaching that Sunday. And that actually to us was really important. It was a good sign that there was enough humility of the leaders of the church to share that space up front and to give someone else the opportunity to speak to the church. So first of all, we should accept our limitations when it comes to knowing God. Secondly, we should really be looking for churches and faith communities that are governed by humility. And here's another piece of wisdom. If we want to know God, we really have to seek hard after God. God is really big and vast and hard to understand, and so it makes sense that knowing God would require some effort. For those of us who are followers of Jesus, we believe that we have this unique revelation in the Bible that we can turn to, and that God makes himself known to us through Jesus. And these things can be really helpful. But it doesn't change the fact that knowing God and experiencing God doesn't always come that easily to us. I mean, there are times when I open up my Bible and I read about God, and I really feel like it's coming alive for me, and I'm coming to understand something fresh and new about God. There are times when I'm in church in worship and I feel a connection to God. There are times when I'm walking through the woods and God's presence feels really real to me. There are other times when I do those same activities and I don't experience God at all. When I open up my Bible and the stuff that I'm reading is stuff that I've heard before and it just isn't resonating for me. When I'm in worship with other people and it seems like they're all connecting with God and I'm not. When I'm walking through the woods and God doesn't feel close, God feels a million miles away. It can be really hard for us to connect with God, and it's something that we learn we have to really make an effort to do, and we have to learn to sometimes look for God in the places that we don't expect. Yes, sometimes God is found in Scripture, in worship. Sometimes we find God in the mountains or in the woods. Sometimes we find God on the city street, where there are people milling by, where there's trash. Sometimes we even experience God in a Zoom call. We experience God in times that we have with other people. If we're really paying attention to God's presence. One of the things that I've missed the most during this pandemic is what my wife Rebecca and I call long dinners. When we have time with friends and we just have extended periods of time to sit and talk. Those are times where I do often connect with God, and I don't know if we always think about those as times when we're really seeking after God. And one of the most amazing things about this whole idea of God's vastness, God's greatness, is the fact that in the midst of that truth, God does want to make himself known to us. God says very clearly in the Bible that the God of the universe wants to spend time with us and be with us. And we think about this hymn that Frederick Lehman wrote about the love of God. It is about the fact that the love of God is so great that it's unfathomable. It's also about the fact that God's love seeks us out wherever we are, that it goes to the highest star, that it reaches down to the lowest hell, that God wants to be with us, and that God finds us. So here's one last question for us to consider today. Where's one place where you haven't looked for God, but should? You know, there are a lot of... Moment for the geese. It's only getting worse.
Here they come.
Here they come. It's not getting any better. Maybe it's better now.